Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everybody. Oops, there we go. It is so good to see you. It's been a while. If I haven't met you before, my name is Chris, and I have the privilege of being the youth minister here at Herschel Grove and Oatley Anglican Church. And it is my privilege today to be able to open God's Word with you and dig into Ephesians chapter 5. As David very helpfully said, this is a continuation of a longer section. And you'll notice that it starts with a therefore. And whenever Paul says therefore, you've got to ask, what is the therefore, therefore? And it's kind of a just a really nice follow-on from what we have been learning. What should we do with what we have learned? We should follow God's example. But before we properly get into this, I think we should ask that God will help us to understand his word this morning. So please pray with me as we ask him for this. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your words to us in Ephesians. Thank you that you do speak to us and reveal yourself to us through your word. Please give us ears to hear and hearts to understand what you have to say to us today. Amen. I wonder if any of you have ever experienced an extreme blackout. I'm talking one where your phone has run out of battery, you can't find a torch, and so you need to go searching for the candle box in order to either cook dinner or just see what's going on. Who here actually has candles in their home? Okay, a few of us, If there is a blackout, we're good. But I heard a story once of a couple who were in a similar situation. It was a blackout, they couldn't see, their phone's out of charge, no torches in the house for whatever reason. And so they were looking for their candles. and the husband had gone off to look in one of the cupboards. And as he is looking, he finds a box, and it's the candle box. Lucky him. But he opens it up, and the candles are all waxed together. And so he struggles a bit. He pulls a candle out. Here we go. He gets his lighter, tries to light it, but the candle just will not catch. It's not working. And so he goes to his wife, and he says, "Hey, I found the candle box. I found the candles. I'm trying to light it. It just doesn't want to light." And his wife looks at him and laughs and says, "Hey, they're the church candles. They do not like to shine a light." Ooh, oh dear. Why am I telling this story? What has it got to do with our passage today? I feel like I do need to explain a little bit. Paul is continuing to tell us, he's continuing to tell the Ephesians how followers of Jesus should live and how they shouldn't live. And he uses the language of darkness and light. And he reminds the Ephesians that they were once in darkness, but now they are children of the light. And so they should live as such. Because the light of the Lord is both revealing and transforming in nature. And as we move through the passage, we'll see that there is some truth to the story that I just told. That for many followers of Jesus, the deception of the world, the fear of rejection, many other things stop us from reflecting the light of God. But Paul's encouragement is that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, to live in the light and to let the light do its work. But to help us to understand that, Paul starts by explaining actions which are a part of a life in darkness. So let's read Ephesians 5, 1-7 together again. "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." So how do we live as followers of Jesus? Well, we must follow God's example and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Why should we do this? What is our motivation? Well, if you follow Jesus, you are God's dearly loved child. You are a recipient of the inheritance of God, a co-heir with Jesus in the kingdom of God. That is pretty good stuff. In fact, it's the best. What Paul tells us next is what not to do, kind of how to live in a way which is following God's example. And he tells us why followers of Jesus shouldn't live in the ways that he outlines. And he focuses on three specific areas of sin. He focuses on sexual immorality, he focuses on greed, and he focuses on foolish talk. And as we read this, there's not a whole lot to indicate that these are areas that the church in Ephesus is struggling with. And yet, Paul takes the time to remind them of the dangers of these things. And so I think we should take special note as well. These are all areas that are idolized in our society today. And these are ways of living that can so easily make their way into anybody's life. And Paul is saying, don't do it. Avoid these things. "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." Everywhere we look, on the telly, the shows, the movies, the ads, the books that we read, the songs that we listen to, we are told that if everyone consents and nobody is getting hurt, it's your body, it's your choice. You can do whatever you want. A few weeks ago, Andrew mentioned that the pornography industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. It is illegal in many places around the world, and in Australia, the main sites that traffic this have been banned, and yet it is still so prevalent. And this is indicative of society as a whole. Sexual immorality is something that followers of Jesus must guard against. Even if it isn't something that we struggle with, it is important enough for Paul to remind the Ephesians, and so we need to keep it in mind as well. Sexual sin is really the one place where pride, where power, where gratification all mix together, and it can destroy so many lives. What we do with our bodies matter. It really does, because if you follow Jesus, you belong to God. And these things are not fitting for God's dearly loved children. Greed as well, everywhere we look, the movies we watch, the TV shows we watch, the ads, the books, the songs we listen to. We are told that we need to take what we need and more. We need to work side hustles to make more money. We need to make our first million, then we need to make our first billion. And what happens when you hit a billion? Well, then you join the race to $1 trillion. Greed is everywhere. And recently we've seen it at the fuel pumps. There's a shortage and people are filling up tanks after tank, after jerry can, because as long as I've got mine, everyone else can just kick rocks. These things are improper for God's holy people. Likewise, there should be no obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Followers of Jesus must be careful how they speak. We must be careful how we speak. This one hit me as I was reading through it. I tend to be sarcastic. I make jokes at my own expense, at other people's expense, at people I don't even know's expense. It's not helpful. It's not helpful for building people up. It tears people down for a quick laugh. I need to make sure that the way I speak is building people up in Christ. Why do we want to avoid these things? Well, we want to follow God's example. But also, if you look down at verse 5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. If you truly follow Jesus, you are washed clean. And what a blessing that is, because no one person apart from Jesus is ever going to get it right. But still, followers of Jesus must avoid these things as we follow God's example. Because of this, you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. This is serious. And if we are serious about following Jesus, surely we will want as many people as possible to be a part of God's inheritance, to know him and to be one of his dearly loved children. But as a culture, as a society, we don't take judgment very seriously, do we? But it's the reality of God's message of salvation. It's offered to everybody, but for the person who says no, they have no inheritance in the kingdom. Last week, we celebrated Easter, and it was wonderful. We had so many guests come along to many of our services, and we remembered Jesus' death and resurrection. It's a celebration because Jesus did what he came to do, to take the sin of the whole world on himself and to pay the penalty for it. So that if a person follows him as their king, they are washed clean and made right before God. This is what it is. Those who follow Jesus have salvation through his death and resurrection, but those who don't will stand before God at the end. This is the old way of living. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now, I wonder if you have ever walked through a house that has had kids in it, and you're walking through it at night, and everyone is asleep, and the lights are off. It's risky, isn't it? If you forget to put the toys away, the lounge room is often, I mean, I'm talking for myself here, the lounge room is often a minefield. And in my trying not to wake anyone up by turning the lights on, I inevitably step on the loudest toy there is, which then wakes the kids up. If I turned a light on, the boys would probably still be asleep, and I'd actually be able to see the minefield that is our lounge room floor. Light reveals things. It shows the mess, or not, that is there. It shows a piece of Lego that's in the middle of the floor waiting to be stepped on. Followers of Jesus are light in the Lord. And if you follow Jesus, you must live as a child of the light, because the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, in righteousness, and in truth. And as we live as children of the light, we must find out what pleases the Lord. We must be discerning in what we do, so that how we live glorifies God. And like light exposes traps on the living room floor, it also exposes the deeds of darkness. And often I think that Christians, across the course of history, get a bit caught up in the exposing nature of the light. The exposure of our own sins, which is a good thing, means we ask God for forgiveness. It means we realize our reliance on Him. But also, throughout history, Christians have exposed sin in the world with judgment and rejection. The passage does say that followers of Jesus must expose the deeds of darkness. However, as we follow God's example, how we do this and how we go about this, it takes wisdom, it takes discernment, and oftentimes it takes relationship. The light and the darkness stuff does not mean separation, but it means distinction. Jesus himself ate with sinners. He spent more time with those that we may possibly reject, offering them salvation, caring for them, loving them. He didn't separate himself from humanity, which rejected him. Rather, he showed love to those who were lost, offering them salvation, bringing them into his kingdom. And this is because the light of Christ also transforms. So verse 13, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. People are exposed to the light, and they are transformed. It's partially why I told the story that I started with. Christians, myself included, tend not to shine the light of Christ. We fear being rejected or frowned upon, not being included in things. We fear being judged. And in doing so, we rob those around us the chance of having the light of Christ shine on them, of being transformed by the light of Christ. And as children of the light, as followers of Jesus, we must expose the deeds of darkness, frankly, starting with ourselves and holding ourselves to account, but also we must trust in the transforming nature of the light of Christ. Live in the light and let the light do its work. And then finally, we get to verses 15 to 20, and it says, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many years ago, the church that I was in did a series called 40 Days of Purpose. And as we did it, came with videos from the bloke who made it, Rick Warren. It was a long time ago, and I don't remember much from it. But one thing that stuck with me was an analogy that he made. And in his analogy, he had a cup. And he asked the question, what comes out of your cup when it is jiggled? It probably stuck with me because it was funny seeing a bloke in a floral shirt shake a coffee cup around. But it has a point. What would you expect to be inside my cup? Oh, what type of cup is it? A coffee cup. I should have put a picture up on the screen. It's a coffee cup. And so you would expect coffee to come out of it, yeah? Unfortunately, I've already had my coffee for the day, and this is risky, but water comes out. And luckily, I need a drink. What comes out when things are stressful? Do people look at us and see, ah, they're a Christian person, but then when things are hard, what comes out? What do people see? Is it coffee coming out of a coffee cup, or is it something else? And I think that this is kind of what Paul is talking about here. You are what you eat. Not really. But the spheres of influence that you find yourself in, that really determines what you are filled with. What is in our metaphorical cup? That's what truly comes out when things are hard. It says here, do not get drunk on wine because that leads to bad things, but instead be filled with the Spirit, which will lead to encouraging one another, to speaking God's word to one another, to praising God, to giving thanks to Him, to following God's example. What comes out of your life when things are hard or when no one's looking? Is it the fruit of the Spirit, or is it the ways of darkness? Is it coffee coming out of a coffee cup or something else entirely? Being an agent of the light requires wisdom and discernment. And Paul encourages the Ephesians to be very careful in how they live, to be wise. Because even if the ways of living that he has warned them about aren't what they are struggling with right at this point, they are still so prevalent in the world that it would only take a very small thing for these sins to take hold and ruin lives. And the world, unfortunately, has not changed much for the better. So we too must be very, very careful in how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, knowing that if you follow Jesus, you are a child of the light, one of God's dearly loved children. So live in the light and let the light do its work. Don't be like a candle who refuses to shine when needed. You are light in the Lord. So be confident in that fact and trust in the transforming nature of the light. Follow God's example. Live in the light and be filled with the Spirit, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your words to us here in Ephesians. Thank you for Paul's encouragement to the Ephesians to live in the light, to follow in your example. And thank you for the encouragement that it is to us. Help us to be confident in you, Lord. Help us to know and to remember that we are light in you. And I pray that we will trust that as we go about our week, as we go to work, as we go to school, as we wander around our local areas, that we won't stop that light from shining, that we will trust that you will work powerfully through our lives to grow your kingdom and to glorify you. Amen.